All right, so that concludes that case. And next up, we have 2260. Tracy, would you read this summary, please?
This 2260 response is Ramke at Burdick, and the complaint is Lisa Arvindo. The complaint alleges respondent did not send the criminal records to their court per veterinary in a timely manner. This matter did not go to the investigative committee or other committee for your review.
Straight to the board. Okay, we have respondent present. Did you care to address the board? I mean, you don't have to. If you want to, you don't have to.
It's always interesting to come. The last case, you know, I have all those type of things in place at my practice. And anyway.
Before you continue, would you please state your name?
I'm so sorry. My name is Mary Catherine Burdick.
Thank you.
I guess I'll just say that I know we have 10 days to send records. We try and get them out the same day, and I have Cornerstone as my practice software, and we call it the suitcase, and we actually lump medical records requests, refill requests, and medicine requests all together. They're on the same line. And we try and just move those out the exact same day that they come in. And I mean, you know, a particular refill and medication request, people are looking to get those that day. So the other point that I would like to make is that Harmony Veterinary Hospital was closed from December 23rd to January 3rd. I don't know if those days count towards that 10 days or not. I'm gonna have to ask you all. Even if they don't, we were within the documented, what I documented that we did send the records when we got on our voicemail that she was still looking for the records. We sent them right out when we got that. Sorry, I'm nervous. I was going to make another point, and I forgot what it was. Okay.
Ms. Frost, she's on the phone. You are the lead.
I read the complaint, and you know it seems fairly straightforward that there's some frustration, obviously, with getting the records. This particular client had moved to Florida, and then I read the response, and I guess in the complaint it didn't really dawn on me that the time frame, but in the response, you know, the practice was closed. They had things in place to respond to and get, you know, things out in a timely manner. For Tito's frustration, it seems like maybe, you know, a lack of communication both ways, but there ultimately was action. So, you know, when I was looking at the amount of time that passed, I don't know, I kind of feel like it still fell within what was reasonable. In the complaint, there wasn't anything that I could understand that medically negatively impacted these tests. Looking for the records, I mean, it wasn't, it was where I get the frustration and that communication gap, I appreciate that, you know, there was ownership in this could have been done better, and where this isn't something we normally deal with from the response side of things. They looked at measured ways to do it better. So, you know, for me, I don't see a violation, and I would make a motion to dismiss with a violation.
Second.
Motion on the floor is second to dismiss. Is there any further discussion? So I did do a little time on it, counting the days. So the request came in on the 21st, December 21st. I didn't count that day because I don't know whether it came in at 8 o'clock in the morning or 5 p.m. If it came in 5 p.m., then I'm going to start with the next day. So I started with the 22nd as one day. And then if you take off the weekends, so just general business days, because there was a holiday on a Friday, and there was a holiday the next Friday. So you take those out, that was 11 days, right? If you take out the days the clinic was closed that were not regular holidays, then sending it on January 7th would have been 6 or 7 days, depending on whether you start on the 21st or the 22nd. So, I mean, okay, 11 days is one day over, but you're closed, right? So I'm not going to hold it against it. But then I look back and I said, well, when was the complaint made? The complaint was filed after only 6 days. So they didn't even wait 10 days. And, you know, if they were so concerned that they looked up the statute because they thought they weren't getting stuff on time, they didn't even wait the 10 days and file a complaint. They filed the complaint after 6 days. So, anyway, motion on the floor is to dismiss.
I have one clarifying question. Can I ask that?
Sure.
When you closed the clinic, did the voicemail for the clinic state that it was closed until the 3rd?
Yes.
Excellent. All right, any further discussion? Motion on the floor?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I have a quick question. I'm trying to find this section. Is it 10 business days or 10 calendar days? Pardon? 10 business days.
No, I think it just says 10 days, honestly.
It just says 10 days.
It's pretty ambiguous. Okay. That's the problem.
So it's up to our discretion.
Yeah.
Yes.
It gives us broad discretion.
That's a
not saying. Ambiguous. gives us discretion.
I mean, I think the issue here is, like she said, normally it goes out the same day. Mm-hmm. The holiday and the fact that the person they had coming in ended up getting COVID or something, like, there were things that caused this not to happen on that day, but. So I don't really feel like this is an issue for the clinic and like on a normal basis that they always wait 10 days and they're always running late. Like, I kind of feel like this was a one-off situation that happened and it's unfortunate, but if the owner had called and gotten me out of office and said, oh God, they're closed, they're probably not gonna get my records for 2 weeks, I think that would have been a reasonable assumption.
Well, and there is a carve out in the statutes about emergencies too, so it's a different story.
Just for the record, in the definitions in the rules, mm-hmm. Days means calendar days.
Oh, okay, so it's in the definitions there. Okay.
So it is. The definition is in the rules. Days mean calendar days. So I didn't count that. Because I didn't count weekends.
It was 16 days if you counted just actual calendar days. But again,
even the government doesn't follow calendar days. How is that in the definition that way? That's something I think we need to talk about the rules.
Well, I think it's because a lot of clinics are open on Saturdays and Sundays, and they do get records out on those days. And a lot of times it does affect the course of outcome. Mm-hmm. If you need those records right away, like if you were looking at blood work or something like that, and you needed to get them to an emergency clinic, in that situation, that's not what happened here. And that's it. So.
All right. Those are the boards to dismiss.
Second. Yeah, I think
we already had a second.
Well, second.
Third. Oh, it's way over discussion.
Correct.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay.
That motion passes, and 2260 is dismissed.
Can we direct staff to talk about that at the next rules change, that too? Just to discuss that a little more, that's our definition, or is that a statute definition?
Rules.
There's rules.
It isn't rules, it's possible that it's somewhere in statute, that that's why it's clear.
Yeah, please discuss it later sometime, that'd be good.
Of course.
Thank you.
The other thing I would say is, really, 10 days is long enough. Like, even if you include the weekend, even if you said you have to get them out in 7 days, that's still a week, because then everything's electronic now, it's like, so, I think this case was a different situation, but for talking about future ones, I'm like, 10 days, even including the weekend, still gives you a decent amount of time.
If we're closed around the holidays for that, because we're from the 3rd to the 3rd, that's 11 days right there. Is it 3rd to 3rd?
In which case.
So it's just, I just don't like that, I mean, I completely understand it, but I sort of like it, so.
We decided this?
Yes, this was decided.
Thank you for being here today.
Thank you all.
All right, so we got that one done, and we'll go back up to the top. Back up to the top, do 2217, Tracy, would you read the summary, please?
Case 2217, the complainant is Madison Jones, her son is John Popular, Vida. On April 23rd, 2021, Stitch, Shakerville, Mail, and her board was presented to the board for exam fashion. The event had not long ago, she wore and adopted the address that offered today's to the scale to be weighed, responding to harm. A short time later, respondent dragged the dog into an exam room, picked up the dog by a leash, and slowed him onto the table. The dog urinated. Respondent quickly vaccinated the dog and left the room. Respondent stated that due to the dog's temperament, he lifted the dog on the exam table while keeping the leash taut to prevent turning his head to bite and placing his other hand underneath the dog for support. On July 13, 2021, Bert, a Warrenville Australian Shepherd, was presented to respond for a waiver procedure. The procedure was performed and the dog was discharged. On July 21st, 2021, the dog was presented to Dr. Ruizzi at Casiaga Care Services due to coughing and wheezing. The dog had gotten out the previous evening. Since his return, the dog was coughing up blood, stumbling, vomiting, and passing diarrhea. Dr. Ruizzi performed diagnostics and the dog was diagnosed with a newborn thorax. Complained of approved hospitalization for supportive care and was euthanized later that day due to a declining condition. And the committee concluded that no violation of the veterinary process had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
All right, we have no respondent, no complaint, nobody monitoring. Dr. Wright, you were the lead on this one.
Yes, thank you. So going through and reading, it's two different cases on this one complaint. And I guess we can take the, so the tricky one was Stitch, right? Hold on.
No,
okay, so we'll take Bert first. So the on Bert, it was again, 8 days between the procedure and the onset of the pneumothorax, which is a long time for a tear to not do anything and then also do something in the trachea. Usually you're seeing those even before they wake up from anesthesia, you'll start seeing subcutaneous emphysema swelling going on around the neck or whatnot. So I don't know if I can contribute that to surgery alone. Maybe there's some weakening that went on there. I think that's a very difficult one to deal with, and I don't think we could make any kind of claims on that one. So, well, it's an unfortunate situation. I don't see any issues with the doctor on that one. Coming to Stitch, I mean, we have marked in the chart that we're a cautious animal, and unfortunately with those dogs that want to fight you sometimes, weird things can look bad, I mean, it can be strange. We have different perceptions on what's happening. Was this dog lifted up by the leash alone? Was he actually supported with the chest, like the doctor's saying? It's really hard, but I mean, when you're seeing your child struggling and fighting and screaming or whatnot, it's going to color your perception of what's going on. So again, that's kind of a he said, she said type thing, but I can't really fall, because I mean, when you have an aggressive animal, we gotta do what we gotta do sometimes, and sometimes backing away, sometimes it's just going forward. It's hard. So again, I don't see a sanctionable issue there, even though it's just an unfortunate situation. My big concern, though, just comes overall, looking at the medical records, or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that they're horrible. There's nothing there. I shouldn't say nothing, but I mean, it's just there's very, very little. Like, I think, yeah, it probably does technically meet the minimum, I guess, maybe, but I don't know. And I don't know what you guys' thoughts are, where you want to go, but I have some concerns with that for sure.
So I had marked, and I was going to ask staff, there are other cases, can I say that? Or there is an order. Is done. How far back does that go? I mean, when did we see that versus this happened in April and July of last year?
Good question. I'll have to look that up.
I think the lead indication should look that up already.
I don't remember we had it before.
Pardon?
I didn't remember there was something out there.
Medical records.
Yes.
Wickenburg.
Yeah. Right. See, that's the problem. You're not supposed to have that information. You're supposed to judge these cases individually. Correct?
But okay, but these are the medical records.
You're supposed to erase your memory of anything that's happened in the past and judge solely on the case information.
Solely on this is medical record.
It is medical record, so we should be discussing medical record.
Okay.
But not if it happened before or after another case. Anyway, I don't really care. I don't know how.
Well,
they're both valid points, yeah.
There's an ongoing order.
I think there is an issue with the medical records. Like, I don't think it meets the minimum standards. Like, when you look at results of the examination, I guess it says all good, but is that really the results of an examination?
And is that a diagnosis? I mean, is that definitive or intended diagnosis under 311-502, 12, 4, 5, 7.
I mean, I don't think the results of the exam were included. And there was no breakdown by a body system on the results. There was no apparent appears healthy for this age. There's nothing that says, that gives you any indication outside of all good, which I don't really know what that even relates to.
My first year veterinary, basically, examination professor would have failed me for not putting in degrees Fahrenheit, beats per minute, all that kind of stuff. It's just numbers.
How often do you run into a circumstance where a patient's vitals are the same, exact same on two different visits? Has that ever occurred in your recollection?
It's possible.
It's possible because we do a lot of rounding. I mean, when we're counting a heart rate, we don't count for a minute. A lot of times we count for 6 seconds and then do math. So, I mean, it's possible, but it's, I don't know, it also is kind of like, huh, look at that.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit weird, but I definitely feel like we do a lot of rounding. And you can tell within certain factors, like, some will almost always be like on a heart rate 130, 140, 150, and others will be more specific. So you can kind of start to see, like, I can tell my doctor in a practice sometimes whose chart that was just by you get it the way they count or the way they do it. I don't know, but so I can see where there would be some potential for it to be the same.
Thank you.
But I mean, even going back to the surgery report from July 13th, I mean, that surgery report is basically two sentences for the actual report, and it's just kind of some medication things. So, what's that?
The cut, I stitched pretty much.
I think the other thing on the vaccinations, like the route of administration and where it was administered, I think those are important. I mean, I want to know on a Bordetella whether that was a oral or whether that was a, you know, like a nasal. I don't, like, I just, there's, it didn't include any of that. That's not a complete record. I don't know.
So, yeah, so, I mean, it sounds like we all have around the same concerns. So I'm looking at R311-502, violation of 3222-3221 as relates to R311-502L, for results of examination. There it says including temperature, heart rate, respiration, general condition, I guess, even a part that's in there, that's sort of all that is a thing. Five, the animal's tentative or definitive diagnosis. Seven, the name of each medication administered, including 7D, which is route of administration. And then I don't know about six. I think six is a treatment of animal. So we're talking about the treatments and stuff, and vaccines. But yeah, is it the violation? That one. So, I don't have any thoughts on that. Before I make a motion, so. So I'll make a motion to find. Actually, hold on, because we're going to do a full consent agreement at this point, right? Since we're not going to go forward. So okay, I will make a motion to find the. Hold on. There's not a committee findings of fact, so how do we present that one?
Well,
because we have our stuff today.
It's the same facts as it relates to the records, though.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So we don't have to like enumerate our findings of fact here today, or just the verbally, is that what we've done, or? Because usually it's already listed out, and we say we find their findings of fact as our findings of fact.
So again, I think what you're doing is, I still think the report's findings of facts are appropriate.
Okay.
You're just finding that the underlying records for the treatment fell below the minimum standards of practice.
Okay. So I'll make a motion to find our board's findings of facts as our findings of facts.
Second.
Motion four and a second.
Aye.
Further discussion? Roll call.
Dr. Berman?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lohi?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright is an aye, the motion carries. So the conclusions of the law, what we're talking about now, when I find the violations.
I'm sorry?
The conclusions of the law is going to be the violation I find now. Okay. So I make a motion to find a violation of ARS 3222-3221 as it relates to AAC R311-502L. Number four, results of examination, including temperature, heart rate, respiratory rate, general condition. The first three can be stricken, general condition, I think, is still applicable. Number five, there's no animal tentative diagnosis or definitive diagnosis. And number 7D, route of administration for the vaccines.
What about initials of the doctor?
There's initials under the, let me go back to the records, under that chart one, wasn't there? Where it was written down in there? Yeah, I think there's initials that are here. So I don't know if that, you know, it's initial, that's just not initial down. Was that done by the technician who initialed it? Oh, I don't know that one actually, that's a good question. I can't remember. I don't see that for the doctor's notes. Yeah, there's no initials there. So I'll also add on there number 10, signature or initials of each individual placing entry in the medical record. Nope, hold on. 10 or 11? Okay, so 10 is signature or initials of individual placing entry in the medical record. And then 11 is signature initials of the veterinarian performing veterinary services.
Would be
that. I think it'd be 11.
I would say it'd be 11.
Yeah, so for 11, we'll strike 10. Okay. So I think that's my motion. Should I restate it all?
Yes, please. No.
No.
Is there a second?
Are you
going to
move the consent agreement?
We're doing the conclusions.
Yeah, just conclusions.
Second.
And we have a second. Mr. Rocha.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lohi?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Dr. Wright is an aye. The motion carries. Okay, so now we can ask about priors, correct?
And Mr. Chairman and Dr. Wright, members of the board, just in
relates back to, you know, some of the concerns that you had with record keeping. The records that were prepared in this manner were prepared prior to the board's order. And in that particular order, Tracy, correct me if I'm wrong, but you placed him on 2 years probation with a state revocation for his premise license with 8 hours of continuing education, 2 hours in regulatory, 2 hours in medical record keeping. I'm gonna need some help, Tracy, I'm sorry, 2 hours.
And controlled substance, and best practice implementation. And then also have to have a practice monitor for 2 years with quarterly reports to the board, and also a civil penalty of $1,500.
So one option that's available to you, since these records were prepared prior to, is just simply incorporate those terms into this consent agreement. But you're free to impose or add additional requirements if you think that's appropriate.
So, okay, so we're just carrying over all those things to this. Does that reset the 2 years then, or I guess?
No, I think what you could do, since the records were kept, it would, the 2 years would have been begun to run,
okay,
you know, in November of 21.
Yeah. So it's just, do we add anything additional here? If any more CE is going to be helpful.
I don't think any more CE is going to be helpful, but, and if these were before, he hasn't had a chance to rightfully correct it. So I don't know if additional civil penalty makes sense, but it is a pattern that is concerning.
Can I ask if we had any kind of submission of CE or civil penalty from the previous order, or no? Can I not ask that? That might be a more question before you answer, sorry.
he had completed a CE now.
So we haven't got anything submitted?
For us to even review.
For to review. Or that we're aware of.
I don't have a file with me, so
okay,
I just
okay.
Don't remember.
That's okay. Yeah, I would think civil penalty for when you go with anything additional. And it was the 1500 that was, how many violations was that? I don't remember the amounts. It was like 3,500, so I'm trying to.
There was a bunch.
Yeah.
Some of the things that you found today are not in this order, though.
Okay.
But I guess from what we found today, though, we'd normally do medical records violation. We already, or CE, and we already did that. So,
or the process of it now.
Yeah. I mean, can we, based on these findings, move the CE requirement up and make it a shorter time period that he has to complete the medical records portion, since this seems to be a consistent pattern?
Well, what we could do is indicate that, you know, repeat whatever you think is appropriate as far as the CE, and maybe it's the entire 8 hours, but that it be completed within, you know, 6 months or a year, whatever you think is appropriate, and that satisfaction of that requirement will be will satisfy the requirement of the previous order.
Because I feel like he could wait till the end of the 2 year.
Yeah.
And then we go 2 years of bad medical records.
Yeah, I think though, when you were considering that, you were hoping that the practice monitor would assist in addressing the concerns that you had with respect to the medical records.
And the CE or in that order is only 2 hours. I mean, we used to always do 4 hours in medical record keeping. Because there's a lot of classes that are 4 hours.
So if we do an additional 2 hours to be completed within 6 months, and then a...
And leave the other one alone.
Yeah. Leave the other one. Oh, no, 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 no. We're at 250, yeah, just... Where do we say, you know, it's gonna be the full thing? I mean, I'm not clear away, but I don't think we wanna just walk away from this and do a center and just lump it together. I'd like to add something on it.
Even though we didn't see this until after the other one, this happened before the other one.
Yeah. So I'd say let's do an additional 2 hours of doing education and medical records and a $250 civil penalty to be paid within 6 months. Completed within 6 months.
So 2 hours of CE and medical records, and
$250
and then
$250. So yeah.
And no referring back to that prior board order. This is just an independent based upon this.
Okay.
No, I think, I mean, yeah, I thought we can apply those 2 hours. Well, because we're going to add 2 hours on there, so it's now 4 hours total.
But if he does 4 hours within the 6 months, like if he takes one course, then that two would be applied to his next one that has, he has 2 years to finish.
So are we going to require that the CE that was referenced in the prior order be completed within 6 months? Or just the additional 2 hours in medical records?
I think just the additional 2 hours might be cleaner, just to say that. So I mean, because I don't know if there's 2 hours or if there's only 4 hour courses, but I think just doing the 2 hours within 6 months is cleaner, and then the $250 penalty within 6 months also.
And the 2 hours is in addition to the previous. So it's basically a standalone consent, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Because the 2 hours wouldn't apply here. It's just if he finds a 4 hour course, then he's completing the extra 2 hours in the other one too.
So probation for 6 months then?
Yeah, so it's two probations then, I guess, because he already has one.
Yeah, they're two separate orders then.
Yeah, if not signed within 30 days, head to one in for all.
So it's a consent, because I keep hearing order, so.
Oh, sorry.
It's a consent agreement, right?
Sorry.
Thank you.
So, probably can show that you guys are all going to consent agreement with the findings of that, with the findings of that as drafted in the investigative committee report. You know, kind of that work in keeping violations. And the consent agreement would be a probationary period of 6 months and the civil penalty of $250 would have to be paid on before that time frame. And if he doesn't sign within 60 days, then it would go to him. And 2 hours of CE that would have to be completed within that.
Yeah.
All right, so we have that motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, we have a motion for a second. This will be a roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lodi?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Dr. Resnick, motion carries.
Conclude that one. We are at the time now. Go to section 4.1. Regards to case 1971, Lescroy DVN quarterly appearance as required by consent agreement. Board review, discuss, take action on information presented. Thank you for being here today. Ms. Solomon, you have the lead.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. It's great to see you again, Dr. Roy, and your smile is marvelous. It says so much. Would you like to tell us how you're doing?
Okay, I don't know if I got to speak to you about my trip to Israel, but I did go to Israel after I went to the Galapagos, and Israel changed my life. I was rebaptized in the Jordan, so I was able to rededicate my life to Christ. So I'm really, really excited about that, because after that I got home and I'm training to become a Stevens minister. So what we do is we're the after people. So when people are going through different crises in their lives, whether it be divorce, you know, a terminal illness, we go in with our training and we deliver Christ-based care. So I'm really excited. It's like a part-time job. It's a lot of hours, a lot of training. I give up all my weekends, but it's my calling. So I'm really excited about it, and I still managed on the weekdays to get my work done. So that's kind of what's going on.
That's great. That is great. The reports we receive continue to be excellent, and I think it's marvelous that spirituality is an integral part of recovery. And yours is blooming, which is wonderful. I want to thank you for being here, and I have no further questions. Does the board?
Any other board members? Any questions?
I want to know where you're going next.
Yeah, in June.
I want to go with her.
In June, we're going to the Arctic.
Oh my
God. So we're going to go see the polar bears.
Yeah, maybe I don't want to go.
You got to ask the question first.
It won't sound bad when it's 120 degrees.
Yeah, it'll be nice. So when we leave here, it'll be very, very hot here. So.
Again, congratulations on your recovery process, which is heading now toward the 2-year mark,
yes,
which is wonderful. And keep up the wonderful work, the great work, and everyone's going to benefit from your recovery, which is wonderful.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. At this point, take a break.